Numbers chapter 24, and starting in verse 1, these are the inerrant and infallible words of the living and true God. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go, as at other times, to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with his eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall arouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you." Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, "I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully bless them these three times. Now therefore flee to your place. I said, I would greatly honor you, but in fact the Lord has kept you back from honor." So Balaam said to Balak, "Did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak. And now, indeed, I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days." So he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also, his enemies, shall be a possession, while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city." Then he looked on Amalek, and he took up his oracle and said, "Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes." Then he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his oracle and said, "Firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned. How long until Ashur carries you away captive?" Then he took up his oracle and said, "Alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from the coasts of Cyprus, and they shall afflict Ashur and afflict Eber, and so shall Amalek until he perishes." So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Balak also went his way. And those are the words of the living and true God. This is the final chapter of the attempts of Balak and Balaam to curse Israel, in which we see all power of God exalted over these men. And God's grace also, we see that he also always shows to his own children. The third attempt here, remember it started at the end of the last chapter, the preparations for it. The third attempt here to curse Israel began there. And now through verse 9, we see how God brought blessing again to his people despite man's design to curse them. And that gives us great confidence as the people of God, even when we don't know when people are designing to curse us or harm us. And following that then through verse 13, how Balaam was dismissed from Balak's service. Balak being overcome with anger at this time and of these three attempts and plans to curse the people of God, every time frustrated by the Lord's protecting providence. And what's interesting about this third blessing from God is that it not merely communicates the present blessing, but future blessings are promised, including fruitfulness and abundant water in verses 6 and 7. And the promise of a coming king and kingdom which would flourish and be exalted. Pointing and promising them here of Christ, who would of course rule over his people and does forever in a forever kingdom. Through those, and it's promised here through those earthly kings of David and then Solomon, whom we're studying in 1 Chronicles. And then through the rest of the passage, we have Balaam's final oracle concerning the Davidic king who will bring peace to all of Israel. He will be clothed in splendor, endowed with authority. You see this in verse 17. He'll be clothed with splendor, endowed with authority, that is, that scepter. And he will destroy all those nations who stand against the Lord. But much more so, again, in this is this a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Messiah, the Prince of Daniel, that is, of Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He will bring, it says, peace to the nations. He will rule with authority. And who does Jesus claim to be but of verse 17, the one who's been given all authority in heaven and earth, even like Matthew 28 and the Great Commission symbolized by that scepter there. And also, he, as the descendant of David, as the bright morning star, verse 17, the star shall come out of Jacob. Not only does the Lord keep his people from curses, but he blesses them with everything good, and above all, gives them Jesus Christ, our Mediator King, who reigns with infinite authority over all. Even foreign nations, like we see here, Christ rules, protecting his people, just as he did with Frank and Penny Smith, and just as he does with the church. He's done here three times with the people of Israel. And so we need to trust our King who sits on the throne, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise and we're thankful that you are a God who in protecting providence always protects your people from the attacks of our enemies, both spiritual and physical, which we've heard in Romans 8, that you're always keeping us, you're always working all things together for our good. You are always bringing us to yourself and loving us with an eternal love, and that nothing can separate us from your eternal love in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Father, we give you all the praise. And as we think even of our own physical bodies today, we give praise that you've brought us thus far. You've strengthened us to serve you as you have designed us to serve you and called us to do. And Father, you have heard our prayers and you've healed Ezekiel and his rash. We're thankful for this. We're thankful that you have protected Frank and Penny Smith from what would have been we would assume, a horrendous bodily incident and even most likely death, but you have protected them miraculously and much more in your protective providence. And Father, you watch over all your servants. And Father, we ask that you would help us and heal our bodies, those who are struggling, especially like Jeannie and Dina, and even Ezekiel, who burned his hand yesterday. Father, we ask that you would heal your servants and even our children who are your little servants. And Father, we ask that you would protect all of us spiritually as well. You keep us from sin. We're thankful that you have given us the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, your Son, who has reconciled us and brought peace between us and you. Father, we are thankful that through his sacrifice, we've been reconciled to you and now are your children. We've been adopted. You've loved us eternally. You've brought us into your family. You love us and keep us. And Father, we give you praise for the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you did not spare but delivered up for us, gave him for us all, that we in him might have all things. He, because you loved the world, came and you gave him for us all who believe in you. And Father, we ask that you would give us faith, and as we believe, help our unbelief. We pray for our children that you would cause them to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ if they have not already. That you would show abundant fruit in their lives as in ours, even by your Holy Spirit who works within your children. And Father, we ask even for those who have gone out from us, who've rebelled, even as we'll consider this morning in Romans, who've rebelled and had all the oracles and heard the word and heard the promises just like the Jews, and yet rebelled and rejected Jesus Christ. Father, just as you did with Paul, Father, call them to yourself and bring them and save them from their sins. And Father, we ask that you would be given all praise. We're thankful again for raising up servants to go out into the neighborhood and tell people of Jesus Christ and invite them to worship you and call them to worship you, lest they perish. And Father, we're thankful that you've shown fruit already. We're thankful even this past Lord's Day that you brought Cherry and Mike Rodriguez. And we're thankful that Mike will, Lord willing, be here this evening and also begin studying Scripture with me. And we're thankful for this desire that he has. Pray that it would be of a saving faith, and pray for Cherry and her body, which is in great pain. We pray that you would heal her. But yet, Father, we pray that you would move her from her pain and see the pain that she's causing herself in her sin if she is far from you, if she's not in Christ. And you would bring her to yourself and even have her to come and worship with us again to hear the gospel again. We pray for others who have been heard and reached by those who have gone out, that you would cause them to keep their promise and plague them if they do not, and that you would bring them to worship with your children, and that you would raise up more servants to serve as well, but also all of us must serve in this way by at least praying for these who have gone out and praying for your servants, lest they be attacked by the evil one and be brought down. Father, we ask that you would keep them and strengthen them, Father. For it is not upon their own strength that they can do any of this. And they do not build the church, you do. And so, Father, we ask that you would strengthen them and provide your grace, not only to them, but those who will hear. And then, Father, we pray that you would be with me and Mike tomorrow as we study Scripture. Pray that that would be a blessing to both myself and him. And Father, give us more opportunities to do things like this and to bring more into your church. Father, we ask that you would care for us as we continue worshiping you now. We ask that you would keep us from error and cause us to worship you with our hearts, with great passion and zeal, even with joy as we sing and hear. And we ask that you would also cause us to worship according to your word, your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.